From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is found in how we connect to the universe. And I don't mean to sound falsely profound or to exhibit what philosopher Dan Dennett might call a deepity. It's an earnest question. Where do you find meaning, particularly if you're an atheist? This hour, we are exploring how atheists find meaning without deities. Filmmaker Christopher Johnson has written, directed, and produced a new documentary called A Better Life, an exploration of joy and meaning in a world without God. It's coming soon to our area, but first, Chris joins me for the hour on Connections. And Chris, it's great to have you. Thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
For our listeners, I already see the phone ringing, and I want to reach out to our listeners this hour. If you are an atheist and you want to share where you find meaning, we'd love to hear from you. It's 844-295-TALK, toll-free 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. The film is coming to the Brighton Library on Monday, October 19th at 6:30 p.m. It's free and open to the public. I had a chance to see it in advance. And Chris, before I even get to some of the clips we've pulled, just give me a sense for why you as a filmmaker wanted to explore this subject.
Well, I really wanted to add a new angle to the conversation about atheism. I think for at least the past decade or so, much of the conversation about atheism has been about what we don't believe. So if you look at the new atheist books like The God Delusion, you know, God is Not Great, all these books were very well, you know, very well written and well needed. But I feel like we were missing a part of the conversation, which is instead of talking about what we don't believe, talking about what we do believe and what's important to us in our lives.
So I want to play a clip that we've got a couple clips from the documentary, and it's called A Better Life. And this is from right near the top, because you open with a montage of voices, and many of them voices that our listeners will recognize without even seeing the faces, of people who are talking about their concerns about atheists, about how atheists don't have a moral compass, or atheists, you know, aren't trustworthy, et cetera, et cetera. And I want to play this clip, and then we're going to talk to Chris about why he wanted to open the film here. So this is from right near the top of the film, A Better Life.
You sitting up here talking to a dude, and he tells you he's an atheist, you need to pack it up and go home. You know, talking to a person who don't believe in God, what's his moral barometer? Where is it at? It's nowhere.
Said, stupid atheists, I hope God kills them all, followed by, I love Jesus and the cross, and if you don't, I hope somebody rapes you.
Those who would want to take God out of our society, out of our culture, which will lead to ruin, as history has proven.
How can you have judgment if you have no faith? And how can I trust you with power if you don't pray?
So you know most of those voices. You heard Steve Harvey, Sarah Palin, Newt Gingrich. And Chris, as a filmmaker, let me sort of probe into why you wanted to open it with this way, because the film is so non-combative. The film does not attack religion. It doesn't attack religious people. It is, I think, in many ways, warm and introspective. And yet the opening montage frames a bit of an attack on atheists. So why open it that way?
Well, because I think that's how many people in this country perceive atheists. It wasn't a very difficult montage to find clips for. In fact, there are many clips that didn't make it into that montage. It's not those views are not necessarily rare. If you ask people in the country, I mean, if you look at the polling data, atheists are one of the most distrusted groups in the country. So I really wanted to start the conversation, start the film from, you know, where we stand now. And where we stand now for atheists, unfortunately, isn't a very well-liked group.
Do you have a sense, as you've done this work, for why that is? Is it a mistrust of people who don't rely on a deity or a holy book for a moral compass?
Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. I think it's also just kind of an in-group, out-group mentality, a tribalistic mentality of, oh, you don't believe in a God, you're not one of us, therefore there must be something wrong with you or we can't trust you.
Yeah, you know, not too long ago, I heard a a local personality, a person who is religious, say on the air that exhorting listeners to believe something. And the comment was essentially, it doesn't matter what you believe, just believe in something. Even though this person is very heavily religious, and sort of definitionally, they believe that if you don't believe as they do, that you're going to hell. It's sort of an odd construct for me, for somebody who is very religious and professes their faith in a way that says, if you don't agree with me, I think you're going to hell. And then to say, well, as long as you believe something, that's better than believing nothing. I mean, I struggle with that construct, but my guess is you have run into that as well.
Yeah. There seems to be this idea that as long as you believe something for basically no good reason, it makes everybody else who believes in something for no good reason feel better about it. And that's just a weird concept to me, so I don't really understand that.
My guest is Chris Johnson. He's a documentary filmmaker, and his new film is called A Better Life, An Exploration of Joy and Meaning in a World Without God. We will get to your phone calls coming up here and throughout the hour. And again, we've been we've kind of put out a call to you as a listener. If you're an atheist and you want to share where you find meaning and what you might have talked about with Chris Johnson if he had included you in his film, we'd love to hear from you on that. We've already had quite a wave of responses on Twitter and on Facebook and through various other forms of media, emails, etc. I'm going to be reading some of those throughout the hour as well here. Chris, you chose to talk to a number of different people from different backgrounds, some people who grew up in sort of faithful households of various religious backgrounds, others who grew up in homes that were kind of militantly even anti-religious, one of your guests says in the film. How did you decide how to put together this sort of fabric of atheists who you've chosen for your film?
Well, that's another thing that I really wanted to do with this film, was not only dispel these stereotypes about atheists being immoral or not being able to have joy or meaning or purpose in their lives, but also show the diversity within our community. So I think one of the stereotypes people have about atheists is that we're all just a bunch of old white men, old white college professors. And I really wanted to show the diversity of our group. So people from all different kinds of backgrounds, people from all different kinds of professions, and really show the diversity of our community, because I think that is really important. So I tried my best to show that and to reach out to people who aren't normally well represented within our community.
And you have done that in a way that I think does, in fact, bring together a wide range of voices. But any filmmaker, you've already talked about the fact that in your opening montage, you could have had it much longer and you had to make decisions on cutting. Did you have did you have difficult decisions on where to cut when it came to putting that crew together who you were talking to?
Absolutely. You know, I interviewed 100 people for the book version of A Better Life. And so when I was finished with that, I had interviews from the 100 people. And so cutting that down so the film wasn't, you know, 15 hours long was a bit of a struggle, because there's so much good material in there. And unfortunately, not everything made it in. But I think what did make it in was some of the best stuff that I got. So, but it was a difficult process editing, for sure.
And even though the opening montage is, I think, a frame of understanding how this country tends to perceive atheists, and Chris is right, if you look at polls, you know, it's no surprise that former Congressman Barney Frank said it was easier to come out as being gay when you're in Congress than it is to come out as being an atheist. I mean, there's no way an atheist right now could win the Oval Office. And most of the time, atheists don't have much of a shot in winning federal offices either. And so that's reflected, I think, in the opening montage. But to be clear on the rest of the film, Chris, this is not at all an attack on religion. I didn't see it that way, and I don't think you intended it that way.
No, I didn't. I wanted to understand why people are religious, because one of the things I keep saying when I'm doing screenings and talks is that I don't think that people are necessarily religious or believe in God for intellectual reasons. I don't think anybody hears any of these arguments for the existence of God and thinks, well, now I believe in God because it was proved to me by this intellectual argument. I don't think that's what happens. I think people are religious. I think people believe in God for emotional reasons. And I try to understand that as much as I can and show that you can have these same feelings, these same experiences, the same support without believing in a God, and try to understand these emotional reasons.
Chris Johnson, filmmaker, is with us for the hour. The first up on the phones is Rich in Rochester. Go ahead, Rich.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good.
I'm calling because, as an atheist, I understand what he's speaking of. I've actually read parts of his book, and the thing that people don't understand for atheists is that we see the beauty in the world around us. When I go to Banff National Park or Olympic National Park or whatever national park, I see the immensity and the beauty around me. I see the challenges and the excitement of life. I always say to my religious friends is that I don't need a pat the answer. I like the fact that I get an answer, and then that leads to more questions, and that makes my life more exciting. I also, as an atheist, I'm responsible for my actions. I know I am. There's no one else I can look to. The good I do is not from a reward that may come or may not come. And also, another big thing that I think many theistic people are looking at is an afterlife. And taking the afterlife away and out of the equation makes my life here all the more important and how I react to people. So we're much more than just atheists. I belong to the atheist community of Rochester. It's a meetup group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I always say. Okay, we don't believe that there's a God. Okay, so what? What do we stand for? And it's not about believing in something. It's about standing for something. And also in enjoying your life. I love camping. I love going to New York City. I love being with my friends. There's so many things that fulfill your life, totally and apart from some deity that may or may not reward you later. And that's what I think many, many theists don't understand. And they also don't understand that by not believing there's a God, you don't believe that there's a devil. You don't believe that there's some evil demon. So they always think, they seem to think that if you don't believe there's a God, you must replace it with the opposite. And that's not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, thanks for the phone call. Chris Johnson, what do you think?
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really do think that that we experience all these wonderful things, and yet people tell us that we can't. People, think that without God, life is meaningless or pointless. And I think it's, like you said, it's quite the opposite. When you remove God, it really, the responsibility to make the world a better place falls to us. And that's a challenge, but I think it really empowers us to move forward and really do the best we can with the short amount of time that we have. Because if this is all we have, then we really need to make the most of it. You can't just put it off till the afterlife. It's about the here and now, and it really makes us much more present, I think, in the real world and in the here and now.
We're talking to Chris Johnson. His film is A Better Life, an exploration of joy and meaning in a world without God. You can see it for free. It's open to the public Monday, October 19th at the Brighton Library at 6:30 p.m. And in Brighton is Molly. She's next. Go ahead, Molly.
Good afternoon. Yes, it is afternoon. I understand that the atheists say they do not believe in God. But may I ask this gentleman, what is that thing, G-O-D, that they don't believe in? How would they define it? Because we have to know that.
I don't fully understand the question, Molly. I think the basic idea of being an atheist is that without evidence of a God, there's no reason to believe that, but I don't think it means to insult people of religion. But what exactly is the question?
No, this is not what I mean. Actually, I am more on the agnostic side than so it's not that it hurts me, because I don't know either exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, I would like to know, what is it that they don't believe in? Because God, just saying God is not enough. What is that God in their meaning that they are negating?
Well, most of the definitions.
What is the definition of God? What is the definition of God?
Most of the definitions of God that I've come across are people who think that God is a supernatural entity, which is in many cases a personal God who is able to answer prayers and listen and is somehow controlling the universe in some way, has some hand in the affairs of the world, but is unseen.
So you're working on the definition of the religious people have put it to the God.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
So you are working from the definition that the religious community has put on God.
Well, I don't think it's just the religious community. I think if you were to look up God in the dictionary or ask people, whatever their religious persuasion, what does God mean, you'd probably get very similar answers to that among most people. Not everybody, grant you, but most people would define God in that particular way. And so any definition related to that I've seen of God, I don't see it anymore, so I don't believe.
For me, allow me to say that God means it's not a person or a being. It's more like an adjective, goodness. So this is what I have, and I don't think atheists would mind that.
Oh, I don't think atheists would mind that. Chris, it's an interesting way of defining it, but what do you think, Chris?
Well, I can understand that. I see it's a little problematic, though, because I tend to go with the definition that most people go with. And so if we start redefining it, I think it gets a little confusing for people because our definition doesn't match theirs. If we kind of agree that this is the definition, then what do we think about it? I think that's an easier route to go, personally, for me.
Molly?
Yes. Well, as I said, perhaps we should redefine it.
Well, it's an interesting question, and I do understand Molly's point, but I think, again, Chris is working off the way most people define and have traditionally for hundreds, thousands of years defined the idea of a god. You know, whether it's going back to polytheistic societies or most of the monotheistic world that we live in now. The film's called A Better Life, An Exploration of Joy and Meaning in a World Without God. And, I got an email from a listener this morning saying, Evan, are you going to be attacking religion all hour? And I want to answer that question very, very earnestly. And this is an important question because I don't want anybody who listens to this program to ever feel attacked personally. And I mean that. I hope by now, in having hosted this program for the better part of 2 years, that our listeners know that we seek to reach out to people from all different backgrounds. If we're talking about faith, if we're talking about politics, if we're talking about really anything, I don't believe in third rail subjects. And I am almost even more enthusiastic to discuss subjects that people would traditionally call third rail subjects, as long as we do so in a way that is courteous and respectful. And Chris, if you don't mind, I'll just share a little bit about my background here on this one, because I'm in a business, in the news business, where you're either allowed to talk about your religious feelings and backgrounds, or if you don't fit the kind of typical paradigm, you don't talk about it. And what I mean by that is it's very common to hear a news anchor or someone in the news talk about, oh, I saw so-and-so in church, or I was in church last week, and no one blinks at that. That's very common. And I get that. You know, that's I understand that. People like to occasionally talk about their lives. I don't want to talk too much about my life. But it's much more risky to talk about being a skeptic or being someone who values evidence and is either an atheist or a spiritual existentialist or whatever other kind of interesting label we put on it. There's much more of a risk there. And that email I had this morning is sort of a question of that sensitivity. And so, I wrestle with that. Am I allowed to say certain things? Am I allowed to talk? And I guess where I've settled on it is this. This show's not about me. I try not to talk very much about me. I will be disappointed in myself if anything I say ever makes someone feel attacked or unwelcome. But I think we have to move past the point of atheists feeling like you're ostracized and you can't talk about it. What do you think, Chris?
I completely agree. And, you know, we do have to realize that these are beliefs that are very strongly held by people. You know, as somebody in the film says, you know, it's understandable that people get a little uncomfortable sometimes when we talk about this, because we're not necessarily saying, you know, I disagree about your favorite food or your favorite movie. These are beliefs that are really deeply held core beliefs and how people see the world. And so we need to understand as atheists that sometimes we are making people a little uncomfortable by talking about them, but we should also respect them as people and, you know, make sure that we are, when we're talking about ideas, that we're talking about ideas and we're not talking about people. And we can kind of separate those two things as best we can. Sometimes that's a little hard, but I absolutely agree. And it's something that I think, even though it's uncomfortable sometimes, we can still talk about it in a way that is respectful of people and criticizing ideas at the same time.
And let me add a point to what Rich was making earlier in this hour. He called in to say, you know, when the here and now and what surrounds us here is what you accept as either all there is or all that we know that there is, that changes the way you perceive things from your own life. But for me, it changes the way I perceive things for others and particularly for those who are suffering. And what I mean by that is this. I have some of my very best friends are very religious people, and we have wonderful conversations. Some of the smartest people I know are deeply, deeply religious people. And once in a while, I hear someone say, you know, well, I pray for them, and I know that, you know, that God will take care of them, or that in the afterlife that, you know, that they'll be in God's hands and everyone will be, you know, whatever term you want to use, in paradise or in comfort. And my concern about that is if you think that someone who is suffering because of whether it's systemic racism or poverty or all the things that can afflict people, if you accept that, well, there, in the end, God will take care of them, that might remove some of the urgency to look at them and say, no, that is not acceptable. We do not accept a world where we have such wealth and yet so many people have so little, because we don't think that they're headed to some sort of afterlife paradise, that this is our chance to create a better world that reaches out to more people. That's a big core of how I feel. And my concern is not just thinking, well, they're going to be fine in the end, when we've got to be reaching people now. And I'm curious what you think of that, Chris.
Absolutely. I mean, you couldn't have said it better. That's exactly how I see it as well. I mean, when you think that this is all there is, it really does change how you see these things and how you see us helping other people and the urgency to help other people, because we can't put it off. You know, when somebody is in pain, when somebody is dying, this is all we have. This is, you know, what we can do in the here and now is all we have. And so we need to do the best we can and not say, well, you know, they're going to be in heaven, or, you know, or, and it works the other way too, you know, or, you know, if not saying that, oh, well, people who do terrible things in the world, they're going to go to hell and they're going to get justice from God. You know, we need to get justice here in this world. So, you know, we need to do the best we can on both sides of that coin.
And I hope, and I know I probably did just lose a few listeners, but I hope I hope I haven't, because we're going to continue on this program in the weeks and months and hopefully the years to come to talk about faith, to talk about the value of faith, to talk about the value of skepticism and all of those things that come with it. So I don't want anybody to feel pushed away in any sense by me or the guests, et cetera. And we always look to engage with that. Let me get back to the phones. This is Mary in Rochester. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, I'm so glad you're having this this conversation, this topic. I was raised Catholic, but I'm an atheist. I knew I never really believed it even growing up, and I think I believe more in just the balance of the world, and if you try to do good in your little corner of the world, that maybe it'll spread. And I don't think believing in a God or an afterlife or a heaven or a hell, for that matter, really has anything to do with that, I guess.
But Mary, but let me reframe a question for you, because the filmmaker we're talking to, if you're just joining us, is Chris Johnson. His film is A Better Life, an exploration of joy and meaning in a world without God. And his film focuses on a question of how atheists find meaning, obviously without a God in their own worldview. So I take the points you're making, but I don't want to frame this discussion as, well, why do atheists think religion is either silly or whatever? I want to hear... Tell me a little bit more about what meaning and satisfaction and value is to you.
I think being kind, like other people have said, being kind, being respectful and giving of your time and patience to other people without the expectation or even the thought of, you know, if I'm good, I'll go to heaven. Just kind of being that way because it's the right thing to do, because it feels good to be a better person, I guess, without something saying that you should be.
I think that's beautifully said, Mary. I appreciate that. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree.
The film is coming to the Brighton Town Library on October 19th. That's Monday, 6:30 p.m. It's free and open to the public. Chris, I suspect you are hoping that plenty of folks from a religious background, whether they are Christians or Muslims or whether they're Jewish or whatever they are, we'll see this and come in with an open mind too. This isn't just a film for atheists, I suspect.
Right, right. I didn't want to make just a film, you know, for lack of a better phrase, that just preached to the choir. I wanted to make something that religious people could watch, and at least, even if they didn't agree with the film, maybe understand where atheists are coming from a little better. So that's why I didn't want it to be an attacking film and just say, you know, you're all stupid or, you know, something like that. I wanted to really kind of, understand where religious people are coming from, but also provide something that hopefully religious people can understand the atheist perspective a little bit better, that we're not all, you know, we're not Satan worshipers, we're not devils, we're not immoral, and try to understand where we're coming from a bit on both sides.
We're going to get a short break and come right back with Chris and get more of your comments. If you want to call in and share your thoughts or questions, you can do that. It's 844-295-TALK, toll-free 844-295-8255. Or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. We're going to be reading more of your comments as well. And we've got a couple other clips that you're going to hear from A Better Life coming up in our second half hour after this break. And coming up in our second hour, we're going to be talking about the GOP debate last night. You might have seen that one of the questions was on which woman throughout American history the GOP contenders would put on the $10 bill. You're going to hear their answers if you missed it, and we'll talk to the president of the Susan B. Anthony House and Museum to find out what they think about the GOP contenders' thoughts about what woman to put on the $10 bill. We're also going to be talking about a big exhibit coming to the George Eastman House, talking about photography and a big name, kind of a history lesson for me, and hopefully for you as well. That's next hour on Connections.
One stop Pope Francis will make during his first visit to the United States is a prison in Pennsylvania.
He's often said when he goes to a prison or a jail, I've made decisions, we've all made decisions. If we made different decisions, we could be right there. That could be me.
Will the Pope's visit help spur prison reform? Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Interesting to hear NPR talking about the Pope's visit on prison reform. In the coming weeks on this program, we're going to talk about prison sentencing, particularly because last night you heard the Republican contenders as well talk about, I think it seemed like half the stage last night out of 11 candidates agreed with the idea of prison sentence reform. And so that's going to be a conversation we'll have on this program in the coming weeks. Chris Johnson's my guest. His film is A Better Life, an exploration of joy and meaning in a world without God. And Jake writes to the program about the book. Chris, he just wanted to know how does the book compare to the documentary and how things are framed? And he just wants to know if there are similarities or differences.
There are more people in the book. There are 100 people in the book, and there are 17 in the documentary. It's very similar. You know, the film is basically a film version of the book, but you know, they're very different in certain ways. I think the book tells many more stories, but I think the film gets more in depth with each person. So I think those are the main differences. But the themes and ideas and you know, what I was trying to do is the same with both.
Let me read some of the comments that have come in via social media. Via Twitter and Facebook, at Evan Dawson on Twitter. Lindsay says, I see the world as a delicate dance of science, luck, and choices. It's empowering. What greater meaning is there except to live? Magnus writes, I find meaning in the tangible universe, complexity of life to the people I try to help. I don't need false beliefs for comfort. Sheila says, in life, If there's nothing waiting for you afterwards, then make the most of it right now. Byron says, I'm an atheist, and my meaning is found in evolution and the interconnectedness of all living things. Nick says, I find meaning in making a difference in the world, small or large, as much as I can. We're in this for each other. Those are some of the responses we have heard so far. All of a sudden, every single phone line has lit up, Chris. So you've struck a chord in some people. So let's go down the list here. This is Peggy in Brighton. Next up, go ahead, Peggy.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great. I caught the beginning of your program. Had to step out of my car, so I missed a little bit. So I hope I'm not covering something that was already said.
No problem.
I love the topic. I love your guest, what he has to say. And I live in Brighton, and I'm going to definitely see the viewing of the film. I heard Molly from Brighton speak, and she spoke about, well, she asked the question about the definition of God and her personal experience. And I just wanted to resonate from that because I think of religion, and from that, from those roots, often it's more personal faith, which can be the sort of spirituality. And I guess my question is, actually it's not even a question, but more of a response, that I'm a Christian, and I feel that the guest, I'm so glad that he has come forth to say that atheism is a representation of people who possibly could be because of their introduction to religion. That, you know, whether it be a harsher introduction or interpretation of religion, but I think of it as almost like an a la carte, where you go down the books of religion, and from it you pull and develop your own fabric of faith and spirituality. And I think it's a beautiful thing, but it's very personal.
Sure. And Peggy, you said, so again, just because the phone connection's a little in and out, to make sure on the point you're making, you said you're a Christian and you think that for many people, there's sort of their religious background or lack thereof is often about a personal introduction at some point.
Yeah, it can elevate from say, you know, a book of religion into more personal interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I just hope that people up there, you know, kind of encompass more of a variety of interpretations of a religion. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Sure. I mean, absolutely. I was a... So again, we're diving deep on the personal background. I was a retreat leader in high school, and I recall great conversations with people in our group, adults and students as well, and some of those sort of personal introductions and passions that surrounded us helped shape some of our views. But Chris, what do you make of the idea of sort of the personal connection and the personal introduction to belief?
Well, you know, I think studying different religions is really important. I mean, I think everybody should look at different religions and learn about them, just if not from a historical perspective, you know, just for a cultural perspective. It's good to know as much as you can about the rest of the world and what other people believe, and I think that's important. And so, you know, I think that's something we should, you know, teach in schools and let people know about. I wasn't quite sure about what the specific question was about if people became atheists because they had a bad experience with religion. Was that what the call was?
Well, I mean, I'm not exactly sure there, and the phone quality was in and out, so we don't have Peggy on the line with us anymore. But I think I do take the point, and I don't know if this is exactly what she was saying, but the vast majority of people in this world are whatever religion they're born into. We do know that,
mm-hmm. Right.
And that doesn't mean that there are some people who aren't, but that's just sort of the reality. And I do think there is a personal introduction aspect. Some of the people in your film talk about their own households and backgrounds. And that, mm-hmm. that to me was another very interesting part of your film, was hearing the people who grew up in religious households and hearing those who did not. And they've kind of arrived at similar places. But there is a diversity of backgrounds of people in the film, which I think was very interesting. And I would assume that's by design, Chris, as a filmmaker. You wanted people of those diverse backgrounds.
Yeah. I mean, like I said before, diversity was really important to me. And so to show that, you know, I didn't want people saying, oh, well, this is just a bunch of people who grew up atheist, therefore that's all they've ever known. Or I didn't want people to say, oh, these are people just had traumatic experiences with religion, and therefore they just swung the other direction as kind of rebellion. So I wanted to show that it's a diverse group of people. And that was really important to me.
Back to the phones we go. My guest for the hour is Chris Johnson, the filmmaker behind A Better Life, an exploration of joy and meaning in a world without God. And it's coming to the Brighton Library Monday, October 19th at 6:30 p.m. It's free and open to the public. One of our listeners wants to know if it's going to be available online or elsewhere, Chris.
Yeah, the book and the film are available online. You can go to my website at theatheistbook.com.
Okay, back to the phones then, and Paul in Greece is next. Go ahead, Paul.
Hi. I'm glad you've done this film and the book. Answer your question about where would atheists find meaning, am I on the air?
Yeah, you certainly are. Go ahead.
Okay. Where atheists find meaning, I think that meaning comes out, one word answer to that is evolution. That's my belief, that people find meaning because we want to keep the species alive and keep going. And the best example I can give of that is a mother's love for her child. And that's where I think morality and ethics come from. And it expands from that. It's kind of like a golden rule philosophy.
Sure. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, Paul. Thanks for the phone call. That's a great point, because on the question of whether there can be morality without a religious book, if you've ever seen a mother with a newborn child, that mother and hopefully the father as well, feel like they would do anything to protect that child. They don't, you know, and they're not sort of taking direction from anybody. That just comes innately. Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can look at evolution and our history as a species, and see why things became the way they did. Why we have certain feelings and why things have evolved in the way that they have. And you can look at other animals. These ethics and morals are not necessarily something that is just for humans. You can look at primates and see the same kind of morality in them as well.
All right, back to the phones, and Adam in Wayne County. Go ahead, Adam.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I guess I'd say that instead of atheism, I'd say agnostic is what I would call my belief system, more or less. But I just wanted to say that on the topic of talking about it and last year, I think in Greece, there was the big issue of atheists wanting their time at town meetings and this and that. I think when you don't believe in organized religion and associate with it, it frees up a lot of time in your life to not have to think about it and consider these rules all the time with everything you do. But also, I'd like to say is, what's the point of trying to push atheism on other people or say that they need to be educated about atheism or just these topics. I guess I don't read the self-help books like that, but I also believe that, everybody who calls themselves an atheist or agnostic would probably agree that they come from their own morality. They think of their own, treat others the way you want to be treated. Thou shalt not harm, do no harm, these and that. But anyway, I'll take any comments off the air, and thanks for hearing me.
Yeah, thank you, Adam. Thanks for the phone call.
Thank you.
Chris, it's a question that comes up a lot, and that is it enough to be a proud skeptic, if you call yourself an atheist or an agnostic, or is there value in trying to convince others that it's worth valuing evidence and rejecting the holy books as written, et cetera? I mean, how do you come down on that question?
Well, I think it is very valuable to come together as non-believers and make our voices heard. And I don't think this would be as necessary if we lived in a society where it didn't matter if you were an atheist or not, or if religion wasn't as oppressive as it is in the United States. But the fact is, you know, we live in a country where, you know, we're having this, you know, big debate right now, the whole Kim Davis thing in Kentucky about same-sex marriage, which is explicitly because of religious ideas that we're having. You know, we're spending all this money, we're doing all this stuff to stop two people who want to get married from getting married because of these religious ideas. And so I think because, you know, religion is in many ways having such an impact on society, it's important to those of us who value evidence and reason and who are non-believers to step up and say, hey, you know, I don't believe this. And if you want to make, you know, public policy, that has to be based on evidence and reason and not based on your personal religious views. If you want to hold those for yourself and that doesn't impact other people, then that's fine. But the minute you're starting to make public policy based on your religious beliefs, I think it's important that the non-believers come together and say, whoa, hold on now. It doesn't apply to everybody.
Harriet writes to us, hello, Evan. Our daughter is being raised as a fourth-generation atheist, and we in this legacy have had rich, interesting, and fulfilling lives. However, our daughter often lies to her classmates and those in her world about being an atheist, as she's been ridiculed for being one. She now sees religion as a very negative thing, and that's very sad. That's from Harriet. Tamara writes, as for finding meaning in the world, I do that through learning. Since I do not believe that a creator made something as magnificent as the Rocky Mountains, I find tremendous meaning in learning about the natural processes that are responsible for it. When I look at tree rings or rock layers, they reflect a deep history that is inherently beautiful and awe-inspiring. That's from Tamara. Before I get back to the phones, I'd like to listen to a clip, the second clip we have there, Val. This is from A Better Life and one of the many people in the film talking about what they view as the liberation of not being tied to anybody else's values or dictates or an afterlife. Let's listen.
Once you realize that life doesn't go on after you die, that there isn't any purpose given to our lives from outside, then there's very few people, there's some, but very, very few, who those realizations truly send into despair. Usually the argument that you should despair if that's what you think comes from religious people. It doesn't come from actual atheists. What you realize is that meaning and purpose and joy come from inside you. They don't come from outside. And that is a challenge. It's a challenge. You have to be courageous. You have to accept the world as it is. But it's also a great liberation. Once you realize that you don't need to obey the rules that someone is giving you from outside, you don't need to live up to anybody else's standards, that you make the standards, that you create the goals, that you decide what is meaningful or not. Once you get that, it's enormously freeing, I think.
So that's from the film. And Chris, I don't mean to put humanity on the couch here, but there is something a little dissonant to me in the idea of death and some of the fights we have seen over refusing to allow death to happen. I mean, you look at Terry Schiavo and some others, and I do find some dissonance in the idea that if you're a religious believer, again, I respect that, I understand it, that you believe in an afterlife and paradise and being reunited with the Creator, and yet you hold on to every last second, whereas someone like Oliver Sacks, just to take an example, I mean, talk about dying sort of quietly with dignity, and maybe with some fear, but not fighting every last second, you know, in ways that kind of deny the inevitable. There's an interesting dissonance there to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. There seems to be an emphasis on quantity versus quality in many cases. You know, keeping Terry Schiavo alive, no matter what state she's in, is more important than any quality of life that she or her family would have. It is strange to me. I do understand the fear of death. And I don't think any of us really wants to die. We want to live as long as we can. And so you know, we can do everything in our power to make that happen. But yeah, it is interesting how many religious people who do believe in an afterlife also hold on to, you know, life for the sake of anything else. It's interesting to me. Yeah.
Hour is running thin here, so we're going to be going back to the phones, and we're going to move as quickly as we can in order. Joe in York, next up. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi. I just wanted to weigh in on the fact that I I was raised in a Jehovah's Witness household, very strict fundamentalist Christian sect. And about 5 years ago, I realized I didn't believe it, and I would say, and I now consider myself an atheist. And what I find really interesting is that if I'm honest about what I really find value in my life, it's the same things now as an atheist that gave my life meaning and value when I was a Jehovah's Witness, and which is family and friends and having positive shared experiences with them in my life, my children. And that's what I think is really amazing about that, is if we're honest, no matter what religion or lack of religion we identify as or with, that we can all find meaning in the same things no matter where we are along that spectrum.
And Joe, real briefly, because I want to get to other callers, have you felt attacked in any way when you let people in your community, whether it's family or friends, know that you're an atheist?
Oh, absolutely. As a Jehovah's Witness, coming out as an atheist meant that I've been shunned by my brother, all of my friends. I literally lost every friend just about that I ever had. So the price was incredibly high, but, you know, I couldn't look my 2-year-old, 3-year-old son in the eye and tell him something I didn't believe. And so that was something a price I was willing to pay.
Joe, thanks for sharing your story. And
thank you.
I think part of what Chris is feeling is, let's get to a world where we can all speak about our beliefs, whatever they are, and sort of hug and walk away and feel good about, you know, a good conversation and maybe opening each other's minds to changing their minds at some point. My mind is always open to being changed, by the way. Carrie in Rochester is next. Go ahead, Carrie.
Hi there. I actually had a comment about just being happy to see exposure of this type for atheists. There are actually places in the country right now where you are prohibited from holding public office if you are an atheist. That's crazy. So I think the more movies like this, the more discussions, the more boards, the more articles, the more other atheists who aren't necessarily out of the closet, so to speak, feel comfortable coming out and say, yeah, you know what, I'm a good and moral person, but I don't believe in God of any sort. So thank you very much for doing this. It's courageous and it's fabulous.
Thank you, Carrie. And
thank you.
Carrie makes an important point again. The film, A Better Life, is not about attacking religion. It's about explaining joy and meaning for people who are not religious. And Chris, just a quick thought on her comment about office holding in this country.
I'm not a legal scholar. As far as I know, that those particular statutes no longer apply technically. But it doesn't mean that people are, you know, will not vote for an atheist. I mean, like you said before, it's basically impossible for someone who professes themselves as an atheist to be elected even. So it's really, there's so much stigma out there against atheists, whether it's legal or whether it's just societal. Those do exist. Yeah.
Paul in Wayne County, I've got about 30 seconds. Go ahead, Paul. Paul, are you there? Go ahead.
The responsibility. Hello?
Go ahead.
I think it's the responsibility of atheists and agnostics to tell others about what Chris has been saying, that we're not evil people, we're good people. You know, growing up with Christians, often I felt my thoughts and views are looked down on, and still are today. And with the rise of Christian conservatism, you know, we have to stand up for ourselves. It's almost reverse discrimination.
Discrimination against Christians?
No, discrimination is against agnostics.
Oh, okay.
And atheists.
Yeah, okay.
In this country.
Okay.
Because Christianity is so widely accepted and is almost assumed in this country. When you tell someone you're an agnostic or an atheist, they think you're evil. And it's most of the people I've met that are, it couldn't be further from the truth. And yet, we're looked down upon for not believing in what most people in this country believe in.
And Paul, just because I'm running out of time, I understand the sentiment. I want to make sure the filmmaker, Chris Johnson, gets a Final word here as we're running out of time. The film's called A Better Life, an exploration of joy and meaning in a world without God. You can see it for free. Brighton Public Library, Monday, October 19th at 6:30 p.m. Online where, Chris?
TheAtheistBook.com.
And by the way, we're going to get nowhere close to through all of the comments written and by phone this hour. We could have done 3 hours on this. You're probably not surprised about that, Chris. Get in 20 seconds. What are you doing next? As a filmmaker and someone who is spreading this kind of documentary and this story, what are you going to do next?
Right now I'm traveling till the end of the year, just showing this film all across the world, hopefully changing some perceptions of atheists.
Thanks for taking the time for us, and we certainly appreciate it, and I hope we can talk again.
Thank you so much, Evan.
A Better Life, an exploration of joy and meaning in a world without God. The filmmaker is Chris Johnson. If I did not get to your phone call or written comment, we're just crushed with feedback this hour, and I appreciate that. From all faith backgrounds, from atheist backgrounds, it's wonderful to continue this conversation. Short break, very different hour next on Connections.